Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Today on Truth Infusion Radio, we are excited to introduce a great friend to our ministry, Pastor and Evangelist Steve Parrish.
But I'm telling you, God spoke to my heart in these verses right here, and He said what you need to understand is if you'll ever get to your ending, then you can find my beginning. Amen.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicott, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Zechariah chapter number 3 and verse number 1. The Word of God says, "And He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And unto him he said, "Behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment." Father, we thank you, Lord, for where you've brought us to. And God, I just go on and confess to you right now, Lord, I know I'm in way over my head. God, this is way bigger than me. And Lord, I claim the promise of your word. God, you said when I stood for men, God, you'd give me something to say. So Lord, I ain't just here to have something to say, Lord. I want to be able to say something now. God, you know where we are, Lord, before the foundation of the world. God, you saw this night. Lord, you saw where I'd be, where these folk in this assembly would be tonight. Lord, you knew how we'd need your word tonight, God, to help us about our way. So, Lord, we're praying for your will to be done tonight, God. If there's a lost sinner here swinging over hell right now, God, we pray this would be their day of salvation. Lord, if they be one here just about ready to quit, don't think they can take another step. God, I pray you'd open up the windows of heaven, Lord. You'd send those heavenly messengers tonight, God. Feed our souls, Lord. Help us tonight around the Word of God. Lord, we've all got needs, God. We all are filthy people tonight. God, how we need the washing of your Word to come in this place. Lord, we bind the devil and every helper he'd have. God, give us victory of the mind tonight, Lord. Give us victory over our thought process right now. Lord, squeeze our hearts, and as Job said, make our hearts soft tonight. So, God, it might be good ground for the Word of God to go in. Lord, we're going to give you praise for all you've done. Lord, we're going to give you glory for what you're about to do. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and the church said, amen, amen. You have a seat. And when we find the book of Zechariah, chapter 3 right here, when these words were written, Israel had just returned from captivity. They'd been a nation that's been under the bondage of the Babylonian king for 70 years. And they've come back into the holy city of God now. They've come back into Jerusalem. And boy, they found the city in ruins. Boy, the walls are torn down and the gates are burned. Their houses are destroyed. The temple that's been such a center place of their lives, where they had once worshipped, now a place of rubble. And boy, when they get back and see the city of God in that shape, they begin to rebuild. The walls are raised back up. Homes are rebuilt. The temple's restored and the altar's repaired and raised up again. But then when we find Joshua here in chapter number 3, reality is set in. What good is it to have all this if there ain't nobody fit to serve in what God's done for? What good is it to have a church if ain't nobody there wanting to do nothing for God? Amen. Or could be that they don't feel like they're able to do anything for God because of how filthy they are. Amen. Boy, they're here. Captivity's cost them. They're all unfit to work. Now, Joshua's not by himself in the priesthood. The book of Ezra chapter 2 tells us that 4,289 priests have come back to Jerusalem. In other words, there's this many who need to get back in the church and go to work. But I'm going to tell you something about them. They a sorry bunch, amen. How you know, preacher? Because my Bible tells me so. It tells me there in Malachi, just a few pages over, chapter 2. This is what the Word of God says about them. It says, "Ye are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law." Well, saying, "Brother Steve, well, these priests, these that ought to be able to do something for the Lord, their lives has got out of order. Boy, this bunch put to function and dysfunction, amen. I'm telling you, they's good for nothing. Seems like their lives had come to an end. But when I was getting ready to preach this to my church, and you end up in my church, man, you done rode the river, amen. I ain't got nothing but a bunch of thugs, but they've been saved by the grace of God, amen." But I'm going to tell you what the enemy will tell a thug. He'll say you've done too much. He'll say you've gone too far. He'll say you're too filthy. You got too much of past. Ain't no way God could do anything with you. But I'm telling you, God spoke to my heart in these verses right here. And he said what you need to understand is if you'll ever get to your ending, then you can find my beginning. Amen. But you got to get to your ending before you can ever find my beginning. Well, all the way over here today, I was praying, God, if you'd let somebody get to their ending tonight. God, if we just get to an ending, then we could have a beginning. And well, I'm telling you, I see in these verses right here in the life of Joshua, the high priest, how he's about to get to his ending when he thinks it's all over, when he thinks captivity has taken too big a toll on him. Oh, Joshua's about to find out when he gets to his nothing. That's when he's about to get in on God's something. Amen. Amen. Boy, I got 3 points. Every Baptist preacher got 3 points. Amen. I got 3 points tonight. I want us to see first those that are involved in these 3 verses. Now in verse number 1, we saw Joshua the high priest, and we saw the angel of the Lord, and we saw Satan standing at the right hand of Joshua. So we got 3 characters here in this that's going to play out in front of us. Now we got Joshua the high priest. And what's he there to do? Well, he's there to be what God called him to be. He's there to be a mediator between God and man, but also a mediator between man and God. But then we've got the angel of the Lord. And here we see none other than the Lord Jesus. If you'll read in your Bible right there, in my King James Bible, that word Lord is all capital letters. So that's a picture of the pre-incarnate Christ. In other words, this is the Lord Jesus. He's got up and left heaven's world and come into our world so he might do something. Why is that? Because the devil's there too, amen. I tell you what, whenever you find a man and you find the Lord, you ain't got to look far because you're going to find the devil. And what's the devil there to do? Well, it says that he's standing at his right hand there to resist him. In other words, he's there to use a word against him. He's saying he's unworthy. He's saying he ain't fit to serve anymore. He's saying he shouldn't even be here in your presence. He's saying it's all over for him. His life is over. He's a failure. He can't be used for anything. Maybe already in this service tonight, you stood there and thought, "I wish I could raise my hand. I wish I knew he was a good, good father. I wish I could get in on this worship." But as sure as the devil was standing by his right hand, he may be standing by your right hand tonight, accusing you, bringing up your past, telling you what you've been. But thank God. Thank God. As Paul Harvey says, let me tell you the rest of the story. Amen. Yes, we see those involved. We see Joshua, who's a picture of me and you. We see the Lord Jesus, who's there in his own self. But we see the devil, who's there to accuse. That's who's involved. But thank God, those involved found out some intervention taking place. Look at verse number 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that's chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Man, I never had seen this till God was letting me have it to give to my folk. And boy, whenever the devil was standing at Joshua's right hand, and in that day, if you brought charges against somebody in a court of law, when you went in, your accuser would stand to your right side, and he would accuse you to the judge. And that's what we see right here. And no doubt as the devil began to say, he's good for nothing. He's been in captivity. He's filthy. Just look at him, Lord. Oh, Joshua was standing there thinking, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? Everything the devil says is right. What am I going to do? But thank God, Joshua don't have to say nothing, for he never opened his mouth. This one stands up and takes his case. Woo! I love the rule of first mention. Everything happened the first time somewhere. I believe right here we see the Holy Ghost letting old Joshua take the fifth. Amen. I believe he took the fifth, Brother Chuck. I believe he said, I ain't got nothing to say, but he got everything to say. Well, I thank God when the devil comes and accuses me and brings up my past and brings up my failures from today before I can ever open my mouth. There's one who's took my case. Boy, he becomes my intercessor. Boy, it said, even the Lord that's chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. This word rebuke right here, it means to chide, or it means a sharp criticism from one person to the other. It means the result of righteous anger. In other words, put it in old good redneckology, he done stirred Jesus up, amen. He done stirred him up. The devil's there to run down Joshua. Boy, it's done stirred Jesus up. And boy, I thank God tonight, before he ever chose me, he already knew what I was going to become. He saw what a backslider and how rebellious I was going to be. He knew how filthy my garments was going to be. He knew there's going to be times my walls was going to be down, my gates was going to be burned. He knew I was going to have wounds and bruises and scars. But thank God tonight, he chose me anyway. He set his heart on me. Well, Romans 5:8 said, God commendeth his love toward me. While I was a sinner, he died for me. What's that mean, preacher? He made his mind up about me. Amen. Ain't nothing I can do to make him love me no more. Ain't nothing I can do to make him love me no less. He loves me. You know the devil can't accuse you of nothing that God ain't already seen. He realized my very worst before he ever chose me. The devil can't tell the Lord nothing about me tonight. He doesn't already know. He loves me. He'll always love me. Joshua didn't have to plead his own case, honey, and you ain't got to plead yours either. Boy, you just let your advocate tonight, he's one ready to take your case. You ain't got to pay him no retainer. You ain't got to let him look it over. You ain't got to know the right one to make a call. Honey, it's all done been done. All you got to do tonight is say, Lord, I need you. God, I got to have you. Lord, would you come? He's one resisting me. He's one against me. Lord, I'm guilty. He took my case. He'll take your case. Boy, we see those involved. We see the intervention that took place. But boy, when the interviction took place, we see the interaction that we find in the intervention. What is that? Verse number 2 said, is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? See, whenever the Lord said that, he was letting the devil know, but he was also letting Joshua know, I'm doing something for the brand that the brand couldn't do for itself. I'm doing something for the brand couldn't do for itself. We're saying, preacher, that ought to mean something to us tonight. For everybody assembled in this building tonight, you look back over your life, and do you not remember the places it should have been over for you? I'm talking about you ought to already be in hell with your back broke. I'm talking about you gambled on God's grace, and you wanted nothing to do with the things of God. And I'm telling you, when you had a time that you were plucked out, it might have been when you was involved in a bad relationship, should have killed you. A divorce or a situation of abuse, or could have been when you was practicing some sin, some drugs or alcohol. Anybody besides me ever had them nights? You don't even remember how you got home. You just woke up a day or two later and don't remember anything was going on. What are you saying, Brother Steve? I thank God he did something for me I couldn't do for myself. I know what it is to be a brand that's been plucked out of the fire. I know what it is. Man, I growed up in the hills of North Mississippi in the 60s and the 70s. I'm fixing to be 56 years old. I know I don't look it. I'm a good-looking old dude. Amen. Now we got things like waste management and landfills and garbage trucks that run and stuff like that. Man, when I was a kid, you know what the landfill was? It's a 50-gallon drum in the backyard. And mama'd tell you about 2 times a week, son, you need to go burn that garbage. Amen. You need to take care of that garbage. Now, it was my job, Brother Kelly, I'd burn the garbage. And many a time I've gathered up all the garbage, get them garbage cans, get out there and get that fire rolling good in that barrel, and I'd go to dumping stuff over in there. And Brother David, there's been times my mama would clean my room, and something that I thought was precious, she thought it was garbage, and she'd put it in the garbage can. Brother Chuck, I've poured it over in that fire before, and by the time it got in that fire and it got to burning around it, I'd look and I'd say, oh, that's mine. That's what I want right there. That means something to me. And it didn't mean nothing to nobody else, but you know what I'd do? I'd reach off in there and I'd get it, amen, and I'd bring it out of that fire. Wait, Sam Rusty, man, I've been saved nearly 32 years. 32 years ago, didn't nobody want me. Didn't nobody have nothing for me, but I thank God one morning he looked over in the fire and didn't mean nothing to nobody else, but he reached in where I was. He plucked me out. Is there anybody that he's ever reached in to your fire and he's pulled you out? Let me tell you something now. You don't pluck it out unless it's got a value to you. You don't pluck it out unless you got a purpose for it. And you don't pluck it out unless you got a plan for it. You see the value in it. What Sam does, Steve, I'm talking about, hey, maybe some of us tonight, we've got some area in our life, we just need to get to our ending so we can get into God's beginning. See, all this don't just happen, man. For you to be where you are tonight, anybody else from Mississippi here besides me and my boys? Amen. I knew you had a good look about you. Amen. There's probably every states all over this country represented here tonight. Fellas, I'm telling you, this don't just happen. A redneck like me in the hills of North Mississippi, he don't drive 7 miles today after meeting a guy like that who was a couple of years ago and God's in the setup business. Amen. He'll butt into your business. He'll set you up. He saw this night. He knew we needed this word. Why? Because he was doing some plucking. Amen. He's doing some plucking. He'd have never plucked you out if he didn't have a purpose for you. And he's preserving you for another time. Say, no, Brother Steve, I'm here in jail. He ain't doing nothing. You know what I find in this Bible? I find lots of folks in jail. This is a jail book, amen. Man, I'm from just outside of Tupelo, Mississippi, where Elvis Presley is born and raised. But I'm going to tell you what, Elvis ain't the one wrote Jailhouse Rock, amen. That's Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, amen. Oh, no, he's lots of jailhouses done rock, and they rock whenever the power of God falls on a place, and I ain't sure he's anywhere else tonight, but I know where he is. He's in this place. Why? Because I can feel him. Woo! And if he's here, that means he wants to do something here. And if he's here and he's wanting to do something, I hope he does something for you, but I sure want him to do something for me. Amen. Oh, preacher, you a blessing. You, man, I didn't come to be no blessing. I hope you get one. I come to get a blessing, amen. I come to get a blessing. Y'all blessing me, man. Y'all either love preaching or you the biggest bunch of hypocrites I ever seen, amen. Y'all helping me. Say, preacher, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I'm telling you, you can't see today what he's already seen all the way through eternity. We deal in a temporal world. He deals in an eternal world. And I'm telling you, this may be the place he had to bring you to that you could find your ending so you can get started on his beginning. Man, Chuck Mansell preached to our people about 3 weeks ago. He told about this is the place. This is the place where he had a heart-to-heart confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, he gave me some jailhouse education. He said, you can go to jail in jail. I didn't know that. He said, there's a jail in the jail. He said, you can go to jail in jail. And he told about that day they come in. He knew when they come send aid after him. They wasn't there just to ask him he won't play dominoes. Amen. And he said they carried him that place where you have to back up and stick your hands out to get the handcuffs off of you. And he said when them handcuffs come off, he said he hit his knees right there. Hey, what he's saying, must he thought he was at his end, but no, he was at his beginning. Because before they ever shut him up in that room, the Holy Ghost done beat him to that room. Preacher, what you so stirred up about? Man, I'm excited about all these beginnings, amen. Man, we won't ever be the same, you know it. Man, an hour ago, I didn't know you. You didn't know me, but I'm coming back tomorrow night, man. We're going to have a time, amen. We done made us a Jesus memory tonight, amen. Amen. If you're saved and going to heaven, I hope you live close to me, amen. We'll shout her out through all eternity. Because we know the God who plucked me out. He plucked you out. Plucked you out too. Anybody else here, he's plucked out of the fire. Amen. Got a purpose for you. Preserving you right now. Glory to God. Say, Brother Steve, would he do that for me? Now, Joshua was a priest. Well, let me tell you something. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. This is Simon Peter describing just who a saved man is. I'm talking about blood bought, blood washed. I ain't talking about got religion. I ain't talking about been through no baptistry. I'm talking about the place that you met Jesus with your sin problem. When you called out to him, said, Lord, I need saving. Forgive me. Come into my heart. And this is what Simon Peter says he does with it. Verse number 9 says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Woo! What's saying, Brother Steve? Hey, fellas, I'm telling you tonight, we a royal priesthood. As sure as Joshua was a priest, we a priest. We got an office to serve in, to make sacrifice, to give him our gifts, and to give him all that we got to stand between man and God. Amen. I wonder tonight, are you working out of your office? Or are you like Joshua? Back over in Zechariah chapter 3, right in the middle of all this accusing and all this intervening and all this interaction, boy, there's some individual accountability goes on. Verse number 3 says, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and he stood before the Lord. This word filthy right here, in the Hebrew language, it was the strongest word they could have used in the original text to describe somebody who was dirty. It speaks of the most repulsive kind of filth. And I found it interesting, it wasn't only in appearance, but it was also in odor. In other words, Joshua's come out of this captivity, and he don't just look dirty, he smells dirty. Now, I wonder, have you ever really been dirty? I'm talking about really dirty. I went to Iraq in 2005. Before I went to Iraq, they sent my company to Fort Irwin, California, to NTC, the National Training Center. And man, they about killed us in that place. That's 30 days in that desert, in the desert of California, in November and December. I've told people a lot of times, you can send me back to Iraq whenever you want to, but don't ever send me back to California, amen. Brother Chuck, they dropped us out in that desert, and I went 18 days without a bath. 18 days. My rest of my company, they went 24. Oh, Brother Chad back there, he was a platoon leader with me in Iraq in 05. He was one of our platoon leaders. Them boys went 24 days without a bath. Man, they sent me to war, and I never went over 5 or 6 days out of bath. They about killed me training me to go to war. Amen. But I remember after 18 days, I'm going to tell you something about stinking folk. Stinking folk, they don't know they stinking. Because everybody's stinking. I'm just going to take it. This ain't the whole jail in here tonight, is it? There's a lot more folks in this here. So you here because you want to be here. You, somebody said they have in church, you said, I'm in, man, let's go. Amen. And I don't know what you come out of, but I'm going to say wherever you come out of, it probably got a smell over there, amen. And I'm going to tell you something I found out. When I get around the house of God and around the people of God, it don't matter if it's a building. He's just a man. He's the rose of Sharon, amen. There's just something about him. He puts off a good smell. Just smells good in here, amen. You might be stinking, but I don't know it, amen. Why? Because the Holy Ghost be hovering over this place. But stinking folk don't know they're stinking because everybody's stinking.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.